Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the initial conversation that we played in our previous episode with Representative Randolph. I also hope that you can see when people are exposed to the truth about the Constitution, it's just like lights going off in their head. Now, I understand that you, many of the listeners, have not actually gone through the Republic Review layout. A lot of people just don't want to take the time to go through, a 30-minute presentation or to read anything. We happen to live in an immediate gratification era where people want immediate gratification for whatever it is they're doing. And if not, it's just not worth their time if they have to take just a couple of minutes to do things. That's an indictment on our society. Because if you do not understand the threat and the importance of taking the opportunity cost in learning what it's going to take to preserve liberty, our liberty, it will be stripped away. It just got stripped away. And it's going to happen again. And we are lucky that this was a test run so that they could actually do, some fine tuning for their final seizure of the Constitution. I honestly thought that we would be pushed into a crisis that would force the federal government to come along to the states and say, look, we have to set aside the Constitution, and not in a temporary manner, in a final type of manner. Because bottom line, we can't afford these corporations dumping food. We can't afford, all of our money being dwindled away. And nine times out of 10, or not even nine times, almost 100% of all the problems that they are going to have to confront will be from they're going to be the outcome from their behavior over the past century, half century, what have you. And the fact of the matter is that we are teetering on the brink. And you probably know plenty of business owners that have been ruined because of unconstitutional government. Now is the time to leverage the raw emotions that this has caused. This tyranny has caused a level of complete frustration. And if you are one that is going to surrender, and I don't think anybody listening is, but don't let any of your friends just surrender and say, okay, well, I'm just going to have to go on the dole and I'm going to have to become a slave on the on the corporate plantation. Don't give up your entrepreneurial dream and your desire to be your own boss. You need to hang on and cling to, the laurels that you have already developed. And when I say the laurels, I mean, your clientele, your reputation in being a successful entrepreneur in whatever business it is that you were running and now have lost because the federal government. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to have to make that tough decision of going, for me to be able to get back my business that I want, I'm going to have to, take, money from the government to do this. That is lucre, and it's going to be a tough decision. And I'm not going to stand here and judge anybody. I'm just saying that the federal government has no business in doing that. Federal government had no business in bailing out the car industries or the bank or even a state. When you squander your money as a corporation because you allow a parasite, and I know I'm going to, insult union members, but the union organizations, especially the organizations themselves, are parasitical. They're not designed to, you know, to better, you know. Look, when unions began, they had some legitimate issues, you know, like, you know, you're working on a dirt floor, you're working in, you know, really unsafe conditions and so forth. Bad businesses existed, and that's what kind of brought forth the union. I think the biggest lesson every business has learned is that they have to, one, treat their employees with dignity, respect, and they have to give them the best possible operating environment that they possibly can. Now, there are sometimes you have to compromise, but it's not government's job to determine, you know, what the types of conditions that, you know, a person starting off in a business is. It's the same thing, like, it's not government's job to determine, you know, how many people per bedroom, and that the fact that you have to have bedrooms. Remember, I already told you, Lincoln and his family, he was raised and lived in, for the most of his life, a cabin that was a single room. It was the kitchen, it was, you know, the bedroom, it was the living room, it was everything in one room. Because they couldn't afford to build mansions. It was about survival. And they all pulled together and did what was necessary to survive. But where was government back then to say, hey, that's unacceptable living conditions? We should not have the level of arrogance to determine what people need to. I mean, you know, if we absolutely have those types of standards that people cannot live, you know, in squalor or what have you, then why is it that government isn't scooping up people living on the street and putting them in institutions so that they have the standard of living that they need? Well, one, because they know that that would consume a lot of money. And secondly, it's not within the Constitution to do that. But thirdly, we as a society, the progressives, I should say, who have taken over our society, has created this indolence and entitlement. But anyway, let me get back to this interview. This was great. I mean, I am looking at the, you know, the beginning of this opportunity of Representative Randolph to become the Thomas Jefferson of South Dakota. He can easily lead. And in this interview that we're going to cover, I am going to confront him about becoming the leader. And would he be willing to do that? And I want to help him and work with him. So I'm going to follow up with him. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be following up with him later on this evening so that he can, you know, if he needs any help, if he needs any, you know, advice, words of wisdom or anything, or, you know, written down, however I can help, I'm going to do what I can because I want him to succeed. I want every state legislature who wants to preserve our liberty to succeed. We must get the federal government into compliance if we are going to preserve our liberty, because if not, we're just, you know, we're running full speed with no brakes and no way to stop and on the most perilous road, blinded in the middle of the night with no headlights. I mean, the danger and the peril that we are living under is just unfathomable. I mean, did you expect all of a sudden, just like that, we lost all of our liberty of being able to religiously express ourselves? I'm sure many people months ago would have thought, no way, they would just never do this. But people didn't even bat an eye when they said, we've got to do this. Because we've been programmed. We've been told, oh, this is terrible, and government needs to do everything, and government's supposed to solve all of our problems. Not that way. As I've told you, the government should have reacted very specifically and very differently. But anyway, what we're going to do is in the next segment, we're going to kind of cover a little bit of what Republic Review is. For those of you who do not understand what Republic Review is, we're just going to kind of cover the 5,000 foot, you know, bullet point matter. Or if you go and read the bullet points, you'll probably get better fidelity. But what I'm going to do is just kind of cover these things at a high level for all of you new listeners who, because I know I haven't covered this in a long time, but let me go ahead and get started now with this. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And this is the only show that provides you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions to getting the federal government into full compliance. There are lots of people that think, you know, the only way we are going to restore our Constitution is that we've got to do it at a grassroots level. Now, I'm not going to argue completely on that issue. We don't need a grassroots level issue, a matter to save this union. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the Revolutionary War, it was not initiated with a grassroots organization. It was initiated. There was some grassroots, but it was just little factions. The Sons of Liberty was not a large organization. And the Sons of Liberty was literally taken over by the Committees of Correspondence. Who were the Committees of Correspondence? The Committees of Correspondence were the elected officials who understood their responsibility in protecting their citizens, and they answered the call. And they all chose to coalesce and create the First Continental Congress. Did they have a national election for the First Continental Congress? No, not at all. The leaders were the ones that actually selected who would be first to go to represent the different states and the apportionments and so forth. They kind of worked this all out as leaders because they knew the peril they were facing. And so it wasn't, and we don't necessarily need to have a grassroots movement. So with that, we'll be right back after these two promos. So please stay tuned. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so the first thing I'm going to tell you is that the Constitution's a contract. Now, here's a question for you. Am I right? Is there any evidence within the Constitution that delineates it as a contract? Absolutely. Article 7. Article 7 clearly states that this Constitution only becomes valid when you get nine states to buy into it. So what does that mean? That means that you have to have 9 states agree or acquiesce unconditionally to the Constitution as it is explained. Now, how does that make it a contract? What does ratification mean? If you look at the definition of ratification, it is the same today as it was back then. It is the formal process of accepting a contract. Right there, the fact that it required ratification identifies what type of document this Constitution is. In the old days, governments were formed via charter. A charter is established by a single sovereign. And in the old days, that sovereign was the king, the monarch, whoever was the all-powerful. Now, if you look at other states and other worlds and so forth, 9 times out of 10, you'll find that the formation of that government is based upon a charter type of thing, a charter type of agreement where a single sovereign has kind of created that. Now, over the years, those governments have morphed, and most people think that they have morphed towards a democracy. And one would think, yes, you're right. There have been revolutions, like the French Revolution, that created a democratic voice to the type of government, but that led them right into a despot called Napoleon. And how many people wanted to challenge Napoleon and his tyranny? Well, Napoleon kept him kind of busy with a lot of wars, and I guess the French kind of really rued the day that they allowed him to rise to power, or that family, and moved away from the nobility and the, I won't say the good nobility, but it was a far better. They were governed better by the king and the monarchy than Napoleon. And if you, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, but if you look at all the governments today, almost all of them have some form of democracy revolutions. But who are the sovereigns? In every country except for America, the sovereigns are the people in government. They are the ones that have the ultimate say. Now, in America, we have a multi-tiered sovereign system. Ultimately, it is designed that the people are, as far as government goes, the people are the ultimate sovereigns because we have the ability to remove our representatives at every different level. The fact of the matter is that in all forms of government, the people surrender their sovereignty through a mechanism of a constitution. And so in this particular constitution, it was not a charter because, one, we didn't have a single sovereign. We had the sovereignty of what, people? No. As Madison put it, it was the sovereigns or the people. It was we, the people of the 13 sovereign states. So in this particular case, the Constitution was written for and ratified by the states, not the people. And most people have a hard time with this. It says right there, we the people. That was a style change. And what it actually said was, we the people of Connecticut, we the people of Delaware, we the people of, and they act, it was just this long strewn line of all the we the peoples of all the different states. And so they just got rid of it and just said, we the people. But as Madison pointed out to Henry in the Virginia ratification debates, because Henry was basically, you know, he says, I'm, you know, this, that line, we the people, alludes to a democracy. And what are you doing? You're trying to, and you got to understand, he was an anti-federalist and he was doing everything he could to get people to start challenging every little facet of things that he could exploit. And we the people was one of those things. And Madison correctly defended the point that it is not a democracy. It is a Republican form of government, and who are the parties to it? We the people? No. And he actually said this on June 6th of the Virginia ratification base. He didn't say, and it's not we the people, it's we the people of the 13 sovereign states. Now, you have to understand that there is one other part of this Constitution in its original form that identified the fact that the states were the sovereigns and that they were the parties to the Constitution. In other words, the parties in this compact. Because when it comes down to any type of change to this compact, to the Constitution, it requires three-fourths the states. It doesn't require two-thirds of the government, such as the president and the Supreme Court to agree, or Congress and the Supreme Court, or Congress and the president. It requires three-fourths of the states. That is the ultimate barrier for something to become constitutional. So the fact of the matter is that the Constitution is nothing else than a compact. Now, understanding a compact doesn't beget law. You have a contract. You're a single party to a contract of service with your phone carrier, your cell phone carrier. You have a cell phone. Now, let's say your contract is with Verizon. Have you ever heard of Verizon law? Well, of course not. Have you ever heard of Sprint law or T-Mobile law? Of course not. But you've heard of constitutional law. How is that so? There is really no such thing as constitutional law. There are laws that are pursuant to the Constitution. But constitutional law, to me, is just this veil that lawyers have created to intimidate people, to make people think, oh, wow, you know, there's this grand barrier for us to get through. Bottom line, my friends, the Constitution falls under contract law. What did the Constitution say and what was stated in selling the Constitution to get the states to buy in? Those are the two legally binding things that determine the outcome of any discrepancy regarding the contract. And that's because when you agree to something because somebody told you something, whatever that was that they told you, it is legally binding. And that, my friends, is in essence the ratification debates, because the ratification debates is where the Federalists were getting up explaining, and if you want to call it selling, what each line meant. They were defining and setting the terms of the Constitution during those ratification debates. We will be right back, and when we come back, we're going to come back with that second part of Representative Randolph. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. Okay. So where I wanted to go, and the reason I was really reaching out to you, and I want to, again, I really appreciate your time. I believe that we need Thomas Jeffersons. I believe we need leaders to lead. And so I think there's an opportunity that presents itself right now. Because as you and your fellow constitutional representatives are witnessing the violation of the Constitution, and you'll understand this as you read these three articles, we need you and your fellow leaders, because they will come out of the, if you want to call it the closet, or they will stand up because they'll recognize that they need to do this. The time is really to start going on the record as to why violating constitutional rights can no longer be tolerated. Mm-hmm. We need public servants who have taken an oath to say, I will support the Constitution, and you see all of these public servants in different states at the federal level, violating and suspending the constitutional rights of others. Tantamount, that what they're doing is tantamount to declaring martial law. And you'll learn that when you read that martial law article. They do not have the constitutional authority to declare martial law. And you'll understand what the parameters are for that. The most important thing is to call upon your fellow public servants. As a state representative, I'm asking, and I've actually talked to a few others, and I'm not going to mention names, and what I'm trying to do is I'm just trying to get one or two of you to take the courage to stand up, go and create a public statement. This is absolutely wrong. We take an oath to support the Constitution, not to violate it, regardless of the situation. And so we need to have state representatives calling upon sheriffs, calling upon county commissioners, calling upon mayors, any major person that is either a leader or a sovereign. Now, one of the things that you, because the term sovereign is kind of foreign to Americans because they don't really understand. Now, there are those who go to church that understand God is the ultimate sovereign in all things. But when it comes to government, God has left government to man. That's why he instilled the Constitution, and that's why he's kind of always tried to stay out of government, other than the time when Moses was, I think it was actually was directed or helped by his father-in-law in creating the law of judges and the establishment of judges for and creating the theocracy of Israel. But that didn't really come from God. I mean, for the most part, that was how Moses, with the help again of his father-in-law, that helped him kind of design that network. And so the fact of the matter is that we need leaders to actually take a stand for the Constitution and call out everybody. You don't have to call them all out by name, but anybody that has violated, created these stay-home orders, has created anything. And when you read that martial law, I actually put out an alternative regarding the current situation. Mm-hmm. The alternative, and the only acceptable alternative, is to quarantine those who are possibly sick. If you have, you know, if you've been exposed to somebody, then those people need to be tested and kind of quarantined. But you don't quarantine the entire population. You don't have that authority to do that.
Right. Yeah.
And so What I'm asking, and I'm not telling you to do this, but I would ask that, one, you probably write a written statement. You make that statement, and you call upon others by sending emails. And this is if you're actually being challenged for your primary for coming up in June, then you can actually use this as an opportunity to show your constituents how you're calling upon all public servants in South Dakota to take a stand on the Constitution. I think it is a great campaign opportunity.
Well, and I mean, it does make sense. And I don't have a primary, which I'm grateful for. but at the same time, I do agree that I think it's important to make that. And to so I would say, yes, I'm willing to do that. You know, in conversations I have with people on a regular basis, these are a lot of things that I say anyway. So and then a lot of times, maybe even on one or two or three small group conversations with some of my other colleagues, we have these discussions as to the state of the Constitution, or not the state of the Constitution, the state of the nation, and compared to the Constitution and the violations thereof. And so I'm actually having conversations like that on a smaller scale anyway. So the idea of basically broadening that, I think that's actually a great idea. So I'm absolutely willing to do that.
Well, if you're blessed without having to have a primary, then I would think that it would be great for you to honcho and open, kind of create an open forum instead of being the guy that takes the credit for the, you know, because again, you're not happy to do that. Mm-hmm. But you can actually reach out to some of the other supposedly constitutional and conservative state legislatures and senators and say, you know, I am doing this. Since I'm blessed without having to do a primary, if you don't want to because you're in a heavily contested district, I understand. I would just ask that you at least make a statement because I'm going public. In letting everybody know, I'm asking everybody to make a statement. And, you know, and all you've got to do is, as far as I'm concerned, to win in South Dakota is to take your stand on the Constitution. There's very, very few blue or purple districts in South Dakota.
That's true. That's true.
And there's no reason why. There's no, and this, to me, this will actually, because this has been your first term, and so you've kind of been learning. You're now going to go back without having such water behind the ears, right?
Right. Yeah.
But now you're actually going to be, let's call it a litmus test. You're actually testing the body of the state legislature and their resolve and how well they'll take his public stand. If they do, you're going to document all of this so that when you stand on the floor and you call out bills in support of the Constitution, you already have, let's just call it a little database. You have their statements already or their lack of statements.
Right.
And you become a pretty powerful person because now you have one knowledge and you have led. And that's how leaders lead, because leaders lead on doing the right thing. They don't lead by trying to manage an agenda. I'm not trying to get you to take an agenda of promoting a business or anything other than the Constitution.
Which is our business. I mean, that's my business.
Absolutely. As you have been beginning to learn that, absolutely. That is your focus. That is your whole purpose, is to preserve and protect your constituents. And actually, I like to point out that a public servant's primary constituent is the Constitution, because that's what they have to take the oath to first.
Right. Yeah.
Not to their citizens, but it's the Constitution, both state or federal and then state.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact of the matter is that I think this is a great opportunity to give you a level of, you know, how to handle people when you get back into session next year. what I would like to do is I will fire hose you with information, but I want you to digest it. I want you to drink all of this stuff in so that you understand it. Because as you read this and as you notice, I cite on my radio show, I actually read the what Madison said. I read the documents.
Right.
I don't want anybody to take my word for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a man, and I am easily capable of falling, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've never been an advocate for scorched earth mentality of just burning people. And if you read my books, you'll understand that moving forward, even with the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment article, when that comes out, even though there may be people out there that may be ignorant to some things, I believe that we have to have both justice and mercy. I think there are those who were deliberately doing evil and they didn't care. Those people deserve justice. I believe those people, because they were ignorant or because they were taught wrong, they might deserve mercy.
Right. Right.
And I think that those are both very powerful tools for, one, moving forward as we start reclaiming this republic. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I want to let you get back to enjoying your wife's company. As somebody that my wife works at nighttime, so we get little bits of time ourselves. So anyway, I completely understand, sympathize. If you have any questions, let me know. But I would just ask that as soon as you're done with those articles, let me know, and I will give you more to drink from.
Sounds good. I look forward to it, absolutely.
All right.
And I appreciate it. I do love to learn, and especially when it comes to the things that matter as greatly as they do. The two things that I love to learn about lots of different things, but two things that I'd love to learn about. One is I love studying the Word of God. That's my favorite thing to do, to understand God's heart and to know His plan and purpose and all of that. And I think I have a pretty good grasp as far as that's concerned in God's heart when He established this nation and its government in the hearts of man. His ultimate purpose for that. I think I have a pretty good grasp of understanding of what that's all about. And then understanding not only the history of our nation, but and the true history of our nation, but understanding the hearts of the founding fathers, the intentions of the Constitution, what the Bill of Rights, you know, and as I'm learning now more about the background of the Bill of Rights and understanding the arguments and the debates on that, I love learning about these things, because to me, America is the last great, if you will, I'm going to say probably the only real place left on earth where people can come and can operate as free human beings. They can, you know, they can come and they can serve God, or they can choose not to. God gives them that choice regardless. And so having a government and a country established where they have that choice, that's the heart of God. You know, we'll recognize the consequences based on what the Word of God says as to rejecting God, but that's their choice. But I believe that trying to restore America back to the original intent would do more for not only the citizens of the nation of South Dakota, of America, but for the rest of the world. So
it's interesting that you've said that, because what I tell people all the time is, you know, if you live by the Ten Commandments, you may live a decent life, but you're not saved.
Right.
And the reason why is because you do not understand the intent behind the commandments and the greatest commandments and so forth. The only way you can understand the laws of God is by reading the scriptures.
Yep.
And so this is why I tell people, if you understand the importance of reading the scriptures regularly, then if you want to understand your government, the only way to understand that is by reading the ratification debates. I have them, and you're more than welcome to read what I have if you really want to understand, because those, as far as I'm concerned, is the scriptures of our government.
Mm-hmm. I would absolutely love to. That would be great reading.
Yeah, so I believe the Virginia ratification debates are about 500 pages. And as a matter of fact, I have a lot of them highlighted and everything else because, as you can tell, I read these things.
Yep.
The ratification debates are literally the debates as they discuss the Constitution. They went through it line by line. They actually defined exactly what this meant. They defined what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't anybody want to understand what these things mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. Yeah, I would love to read those things. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, and I don't want you to just read my articles, but the next step is once you finish the next article, finish the one and the next one that you've got, is to understand what Republic Review is, because you just kind of, you know, got a little bit of a view to what it is. It is not an Article 5. And I give you the argument and the description. I even have a model, if you like, a flow chart. And being an electrician, you probably like to see, you know, the network diagram or how things are connected. And you probably would appreciate that. So,
absolutely.
Anyway, absolutely. God bless you for what you're doing. And please, by all means, my show, your show, like my casa, your show, type of thing, because my show is focused on state legislatures such as yourself.
Well, and I appreciate that, and I take that as an open invitation, and so I look forward to having more conversations in the future, that's for sure, because this has been a great one today, and again, I've learned a lot, and I continue to learn, and I look forward to learning. And so it's been a blessing to be able to be on with you today. And I look forward to the future and you know, the relationship we form as we go forward. So
great, great. God bless you. Actually, I was hoping to make it to South Dakota this year, but this COVID-19 has really jammed that up. But we'll talk more about that as we peel the onion or the orange, whichever metaphor you prefer. But God bless you, okay?
Hey, blessings to you, too. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You, too.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
Okay, folks. So we're going to be back after these promos that are coming up. So please stay tuned, and we will basically make some final comments regarding the interview and why these interviews are so important. So, again, please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after these promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, republic review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need republic review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
I think, in a way, the best, most succinct way I can tell you this is why these state legislators are so important. It is training the trainers, because many of the things that they need to do almost in a function of second nature. When, if you've ever batted, if you've ever played baseball and you've batted, then there are certain things that you know what to do. Now, with the first time you've played baseball, or if the first few times when that pitch starts coming in at you and you think, oh, well, it looks like it's going to hit me, but it's actually a curveball. And you don't flinch, you don't, move away from it. And you don't dive out of the batter's box. You stay there and you wait for the pitch to make its turn and keep your eye on the ball and make contact with the bat. That becomes a second nature, but you have to train yourself to do that. It's the same thing. We have to let our state legislators understand what that how to interact with that Constitution. What is constitutional? What isn't constitutional? And let them start actually taking swings and identifying unconstitutional authorities, roles, responsibilities, powers, and so forth, and create the laundry list of all the things that are abject violations of the Constitution and move forward by striking them. It needs to become a second nature moving forward to recognize unconstitutional roles, unconstitutional responsibilities, and unconstitutional powers. And the only way they can do that is they have to understand this Constitution. And so as they learn it, then they can start teaching their constituents. As I said, our revolution was not fought by a grassroots effort. Our revolution initiated and was fought by leaders. And then our leaders basically went out and got enough patriots to take a stand. Because truly, it was the patriots that supported the effort. Now, there were some that weren't necessarily militarily inclined, but they had resources that they could, contribute. And though they were patriots. A patriot, as I have said, is a person who vigorously supports their country. That all changed. The definition of a patriot changed when we created the Constitution, because a patriot today in our constitutional republic does not vigorously support the country. Our responsibility is to vigorously support the Constitution. That's a big difference, because the country could mean the president, the country could mean Congress and the government. The country is very ambiguous. We have been enlightened through this process of literally millennia of man governance and man struggles and so forth to create a society where we now have converted patriotism from supporting just a person that's wearing a ring or a crown to a very specific set of ideals that have been embedded in our Constitution. And I'm telling you, if you really start looking at, the history and what we have done and how America has kind of been there in the right position, and we are completely lost today. We do not understand those fundamental principles anymore. And that's why we need to train these trainers. There's less than 6,000. There's less than 6,000 representatives throughout America today.
What that means is it's a lot easier to go and talk to a state legislator than it is to try to get in front of millions and millions and millions of people to teach them. So what has to happen is we initiate the training with these legislatures and get them to begin to lead. As they begin to lead, they will be either communicating to their constituents, what the heck is constitutional? These are violations and this is what we've got to do. And people will learn, or people will notice what they're doing and then they'll go, hey, why are you doing this? And that's how they'll learn. What I'm telling you today is that America is going to go through what I call cancer education. There are people that just are, oblivious. And unless life affects them, they're going to maintain their ignorance to the facts, because they only care about the things that's putting food on their table, keeping the roof over their head, or what have you. That's the majority of America today. So cancer education is when they start realizing that things are changing, that all of a sudden I'm not going to be getting a check from the government anymore. That's a change. Wow, that's affecting me. What the heck's going on? Well, your world has changed because we're going back into the parameters of the Constitution, and we're no longer going to be violating what we would consider the Constitution and constitutional government. You're not entitled to money from other people. You have to actually, if you can, you need to provide work to support and become self-sufficient and self-reliant. It's that simple. Well, these people are going to be upset, and they're going to say, yo, you can't do that. And that's where cancer education comes in. Oh, wow. I was never taught this? I'm telling you, my friends, people are going to be very upset. As a matter of fact, if we don't do this, if we fail to correct this ship, there's going to be a generation that's going to follow behind us and ask us, your children, why didn't you do something? You knew. You heard. Especially if you volunteered the information. Yeah, I knew about this thing called Republic Review. That really seemed like that could have done it. Well, how come you didn't do anything? Well, I was kind of busy. We got to have our vacation. We've got to watch the games. Got to support the team. That type of stuff. And I hope you can survive the shame that you will be causing to your family, and I'm hoping that your family doesn't become judgmental. We also need to maintain that spirit of forgiveness, that Christian nature that's in most of us. But bottom line, we have a responsibility. I'm telling you, we will be held accountable, and we are responsible for what we know and what we need to do. And so I'm hoping, and I'm trying to help you be able to move forward with a clean slate with your children and basically and your grandchildren, for those of you that are my age, great-grandchildren that are my age. Anyway, the fact of the matter is, the Constitution is a contract. It does not create contract law. It is and falls under contract law itself. And how the contract is defined and how the contract was sold, those are the things that actually, they're irrefutable. This is what the contract is, and that is it. Getting back to Republic Review, there is only one way. There is only one way to make any type of changes for the government to assume any new role, responsibility, and power, and that is found in Article 5. If there is not an amendment to grant the federal government the ability to have a Department of Transportation or anything else, then I'm here to tell you, my friends, that they are violating the Constitution, because they have to have an amendment to be able to do those roles, responsibilities, and powers. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. This show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities.